They had turned towards the governments of Egypt and Assyria, their enemies. They went to their enemies looking for protection. They no longer placed their hope and trust in the God that delivered them from Egypt, in the God that had been with them and shown them the miraculous. They no longer placed their hope in him for their victories, and their worship was misguided, and idols replaced the living God. And God, speaking through Jeremiah, compared their actions to digging their own cisterns. Anyone dug a cistern lately? Anyone know what a cistern is? In biblical times, a cistern was basically a man-made reservoir dug into the ground or rock to hold water. In places like Israel, when they had long dry spells and hardly any natural springs, it was very important that they store up the winter rainwater in these cisterns. Fresh water was incredibly precious. If a cistern was broken, it was pretty much useless. Cracks in the rock or falling apart masonry could end up holding dirty water, diseased water. Trying to use a broken cistern was kind of like you and I trying to use a strainer as a water bottle. Not very effective. And Jeremiah here in the scriptures is using the imagery of broken cisterns to illustrate the extreme foolishness of God's people, Israel, who was no longer committed to him. They had stopped depending on the Lord for both their physical needs and their spiritual needs. They were spiritually dehydrated, if you will. Oh, they were putting in the effort. They were putting in the effort of working to build those cisterns and collect water. They worked really hard to try and sustain themselves. And today, cisterns are the things that we try to build without God. Our human effort to create comfortable, convenient circumstances that we can control. We seek fulfillment. We seek satisfaction in various things. We place our trust in ourselves, in our abilities. Maybe we place that trust in someone close to us, another person. We dig out things that make us feel better to cope with the pressures of life. At first, things like drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's careers. Maybe it's control. We're digging out cisterns of satisfaction, false protections, things that we can control. Left unattended, those cisterns, those pursuits turn into prisons. And those prisons offer no life because there is no living water, and the prisons become a grave. Left unattended without living water. Let me read for you the story that Chat and I wrote for today. In a barren, sun-scorched land, there stood a sanctuary, not just any place, but the dwelling place of the Most High. From beneath its threshold flowed a river, clear and powerful, winding through the desert, transforming everything it touched. Wherever the river went, life followed. Trees grew on its banks. Fish filled its waters. Crops flourished. The people of the land came daily to the river to drink, bathe, and be healed. Aren't you thankful we don't have to drink our bathwater? It was known as the River of Life. And it was no ordinary stream. It came from God's own house. One day, a group of villagers, young, clever, and ambitious, grew discontent. "Why should we keep going back to the river?" they grumbled. "We want independence. We'll build our own water system. It'll be closer to home, and it'll be more convenient." So they left the river, and they began to dig cisterns, deep pits in the ground sealed with clay and stone. They worked hard, day and night, shaping the walls, painting the surfaces, designing complex systems to collect rainwater and runoff into pots. When they finished, they said, "Now we have our own water source. We no longer need the river." At first, their cisterns seemed full, but over time, the water grew stale. Some pits began to leak. Others became contaminated. Some cisterns cracked and dried up altogether. The plants withered. Children fell sick. The livestock died of thirst. Still, the people refused to return. "We've invested too much into these cisterns. We can fix them." They patched the cracks, they collected dirty water, they worked harder. But no matter what they did, the water wouldn't hold. Their strength drained and their joy faded. And then one day, a traveler passed through. "Why are you working so hard for broken cisterns?" he asked. "Don't you know there's a river flowing from God's house? It never runs dry. It heals. It gives life, and it's still flowing." Some laughed, some scoffed, but a few followed him. As they approached the sanctuary, they saw it, the river. It was more vibrant than they remembered. Trees lined its banks, and the land was so green. And the water, when they tasted it, it's good. It's sweet. It's just the right temperature. It's alive. They fell to their knees weeping. "We've forsaken the river of life. We dug for ourselves broken cisterns that hold no water. We've worked so hard, and it's gotten us nothing. But the river keeps flowing, welcoming them back, making them clean, and making all things new." The river flowed from the temple. It's in God's presence. It's in his presence, not our human effort. It's in his presence. He's the source. He's the provider. He's the one. We must choose. We must choose whether we will step into this river. We aren't forced and we aren't pushed, but we must choose. I don't know if you caught it in the repeated words of Ezekiel. He said he brought me through the waters. He brought me into the waters. He brought me through the waters. It wasn't just enough to stand on the banks and look at the waters. You need to be in the waters. And that's hard, because the waters of life, truthfully, can be really hard sometimes. They can be really challenging. They can be disorienting. They can be disruptive. They can be annoying. The waters of life. But you see, the river of life, the most incredible thing happens when we step into the river. Because when we step in, what a God. He meets us right there in that first step. The very first step, the trickle, the stream becomes ankle deep. And as we keep going and we keep reaching and we keep seeking, now it's knee deep. The waters are rising. The river is flowing. And if we will keep going, it becomes waist deep. It becomes waist deep. And here's where it gets tricky. Have you ever tried to walk in waist deep water? Do you always get the step where you thought it was going to go? No. The challenge is that when we get into the river at that level, we have to let go of some things, because the truth of the matter is the river flows as it wills, not as we will. We have to let go. We have to surrender some things. We must choose, will I swim or will I struggle? The deeper that we go, the less control we seem to have. That's life in the spirit, and that's the struggle for us. The river flows as it will. We can't control the river, so we build cisterns. We do it our way instead of his way because we want that immediate thing that provides comfort. But in his grace, the Lord invites us, just take a step. Just step in. Just find out what this is all about. The scriptures say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? As we flow in the Spirit, and the Spirit flows through us, healing comes, restoration comes, fruit is produced. In the river of the Holy Spirit, dead things come alive. The river brings life. The trees grow fruit, and the leaves bring healing. This is what he's after in you. This is what he's after in me. The work of restoration, healing, and wholeness in our bodies. Oh, how we want it in our bodies first. But he's after our minds and our hearts and our soul. And that's what he wants to bring to us, is healing and wholeness. If we go back to the verses in chapter 47 here, verse 8, it says, then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and it enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. It will live. But this can only come when we surrender. And we're really good at saying, I give you all. I give you all. Sometimes we sing lies. That's not an easy thing to hear. And I've had to challenge myself. Do I believe it? Do I see it? Because surrender, sometimes we have to surrender disappointments. We have to surrender hurts. We have to surrender plans. We have to surrender our time. Complete surrender is really hard at first. It's uncomfortable to give up what we want, letting go of what we planned to step in to the river of life. Again, it's not enough to be around the river. We must be in the river. Verse 11 says, the swamps and marshes will not be healed. It's not enough to be around the church. It's not enough to come to church. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than stepping in the garage makes you a mechanic. We must be in the river. We must be flowing in the Spirit, not just here. The river flowed from the sanctuary to the people, out to the sea, and that's where healing came. The river wants to flow. Are you just going to sit with your cisterns? Can you see it? Can you see it? A dry, cracked land. Scattered everywhere are broken cisterns, man-made pits in the ground. Once full of promise, now empty, broken, lined with crumbling clay. You see people standing beside them. They're tired, they're sunburnt, they're exhausted, they're disillusioned. They keep pouring in buckets of effort. Success, chasing careers, approval from others, addictions, distractions, control in these holes, hoping that something will bring satisfaction. Some are busy patching the cracks. Some are drinking the muddy water. And others just sit by their cisterns, exhausted but refusing to leave what they've worked so hard to build. This is all I have. I built it, and I will make this work, but they're dying of thirst. And then you look the other way, and there it is, the river of living water, flowing from the very presence of God. It starts small. It starts as a trickle. But the longer you go, the long walk of obedience with Jesus, the deeper it grows. It washes over your feet, and then your knees, and then your waist, and soon you're swimming in the river, and you're flowing. You're not fighting. You're flowing with the Spirit. But to do that, you have to let go of some things that you're carrying. You have to let go of pain. You have to let go of broken dreams. You have to let go of some idols that you've brought in to bring you comfort. You have to let go of some addictions. You have to step in to the current. The surrender is what he's after. And that's where we can come alive in the river. When we come alive in the river, we can no longer touch the ground. But it's okay, because now you're swimming in the flow of the Spirit. You're being carried by the Spirit. You're surrendered. And everywhere the river flows, it brings life. True life, abundant life, living water refreshes, it restores, it rejuvenates. Trees bloom, leaves heal, fish swim, laughter comes, people are made whole. The river doesn't just quench your thirst, it transforms everything. Coming alive in the river, can you see it? Can you see it in the river? Stand with me this morning as we draw to a close. We're here, and we stand between two rivers. The broken cistern of our own effort, or the living water that flows from God. Which one will you choose? I challenge you this morning to spend some time reflecting. What cisterns have you been building? What cisterns have you been creating? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in your career? Maybe you just don't care and it's all about make me happy and it's just constant entertainment. Maybe you're pursuing religion and you've never experienced a relationship with Jesus. Will we cling to the cisterns that we've built? Or will we step into the river? Even if it's scary, even if it's deep, if you let him, he'll carry you. In the surrender, he'll carry you. You don't have to fix what's broken. You don't have to carry what's crushing you. You just have to step in. And as you do, the Spirit flows. Healing comes. Fruit grows. Life returns. This morning, Jesus is offering you the gift of living water. Living water. He said in John 7:38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Do you believe it? Can you see it? Will you respond and step in? Will you take the step through obedience that we hear about in Acts 2:38? The first call is a step towards repentance. A step towards repentance that says, I'm going to turn away and I'm going to walk towards God. I'm turning away from all of what I think is right so that I can take what he says is right. We're baptized in Jesus' name because his name is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the one who paid the price for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He is after you and he wants to see you in eternity. He offers you this, but you have to respond. You have to obey. You have to choose. And when you do and your sins are washed away in Jesus' name, life flows when His Spirit fills you. When His Spirit fills you, the Holy Spirit is for you. This morning, I want to encourage you to reflect. Just think. Have you turned your back away from God? Have you been disappointed by the circumstances of life or the cards that you've been dealt? Have you turned away from God and built your own cistern? Is that cistern cracking? Are things difficult? Do you have a thirst that you just can't satisfy? He invites you this morning to step in to the river of living water. This is what He's after. This is what He wants to do. We call this front area of the church the altar. We call it the altar because it's a place where we come, consecrate to God in prayer. It's not the only place that you can do this, but it's a place that's set aside, especially for these kinds of moments, to where we can come and we can say, Lord, here's the cistern that I've been obsessing over. Here's all the work that I've been putting in. I'm going to give it to You, and I'm going to receive from You the living water that can flow through me. But you have to be the one that opens your hand and lets go. You have to be the one who steps in. But I promise you, when you do it, He will meet you where you're at. And it's not scary, because He leads you. I would be terrified if you pushed me into the pool, because I can't swim. Okay, I can doggy paddle. My husband taught me how to do that. If I hold my breath long enough, I'll float. If you pushed me in the water, I would be terrified. And sometimes we're terrified about what it means to step into the river that flows outside of my control, that does things that I don't know. I don't know what God's going to ask me to do if I say yes. I don't know what's going to happen if I surrender. I don't know what's going to happen if I don't have this life that I think I have to have to be safe. I don't know what's going to happen, and we're not okay with that. But all He's saying is, step in. Walk with Me a little. Come a little deeper. I'll help you. I'll help you. And we flow in the Spirit. We let go. He helps to transform us. He gives us the desires of our heart we didn't even know we had, because we were chasing things we thought we needed. This is what He's after in the living water that He offers us. God loves you with an everlasting love. And He is prepared to walk with you every inch. I'm not even saying every step, because let's be real, sometimes all the ground we can cover is an inch. But take the inch. Start in the trickle. Just take the inch. And take the inch. And if it's only an inch, in 12 days it'll be a foot. I'm not going to keep doing math, because I've already done enough of that in youth class this morning. Little by little. Too often we look at it and we dismiss the little things, because we want the big things. But it's the little things over time. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. Step into the trickle. If that's all you can handle, that's all He wants to give you. But I promise you, that water is cool, and that water is refreshing, and that water is sustaining. He is the source. You don't have to do it. He will do the work of restoration. He will do the work of healing. Maybe you haven't experienced that, and I invite you to come this morning. Maybe you want to pray on your own. That's perfectly fine. But if you are wanting someone to pray with you, I'm going to specifically invite you to come to this side of the altar. And someone will meet you here and pray with you. Maybe you've been around, you've been hanging around the river for a long time. Maybe you backed away from the river and you've been building cisterns. And the Lord is saying, give Me that cistern. I want to trade it for living water. Maybe you're hanging out in the shallow end and He's saying, come on, let's go deeper. There's always more. There's always more that He offers. But we have to surrender and we have to yield. Will you stop living off broken cisterns and return to the river? Will you surrender so that you can swim? Everything will live where the river flows. I invite you to come this morning.